Time again for our weekly catch-up with RNIB Chief Executive Matt Stringer here on RNIB Connect Radio to talk about what's been happening around the organisation and, of course, news and topics relating to life as a blind or partially sighted person. Hello, Matt, and thank you for joining me this week.
Hello, Toby. My pleasure as ever. Good to speak to you.
We should probably start, Matt, this week with the Chancellor's autumn statement, which I think is a bit of a mixed bag for blind and partially sighted people, along with the news just now about the increase in energy charges too.
You know, I suppose we have some sympathy for the Chancellor. You're trying to, you know, sort of keep all his balls in the air. I think the good news from us from the autumn statement was benefits increasing in line with inflation that was set at the 6.7% level, which was last month's number for next April, and we know inflation's come down this month actually, so in some respects you could argue that's more generous than it might have needed to be. But the general principle of you know, sort of pegging benefits to inflation, clearly, you know, why should benefits not go up with inflation when that's what things are costing? And we know, don't we, that some of the things that people can't do without, foodstuffs, you know, utility bills, fuel, all the things you need to live, have gone up probably greater than the headline inflation rate and have gone up double digit over 2 years. So it was actually really crucial that there was a generous, at least generous, you know, sort of increase on benefits in line with inflation. So we were pleased to see that. And, you know, we've been campaigning around that and been the organisation that's convened sort of 80 disability organisations from the VI sector, the Disability Charity Consortium and others, big and small societies, co-signing a letter to the Chancellor. And clearly, as many of your listeners will know, we've been doing a lot of social media activity on support can't wait, hashtag support can't wait, you know, calling for, you know, fairness on things like this to support people with disability through the cost of living crisis. So we were pleased with, you know, the inflationary increase in benefits. I think elsewhere, you know, it was a bit more sort of thin gruel, wasn't it? You know, there's no other financial support for disabled people who are disproportionately hit by the rising cost of living, as I just mentioned, food, fuel, having to keep electricity on, technology, et cetera, et cetera. And the government, you know, has talked a lot more around tightening health-related benefits, you know, which has caused alarm and talking in quite a crass way about, you know, people with disability having to work from home and all these sort of comments that were made by various government ministers. I think it shows a slightly sort of unthinking and crass understanding of the real world and what people with disability and visual impairment clearly are facing when it comes to, you know, not only having to absorb rising costs, but also some of the challenges about back to work. You know, it's not as easy as it might look from a ministerial bench if you're a disabled person trying to get back into work with all the challenges we know we see acutely for visually impaired people in terms of how, you know, recruitment, induction, support processes work in the physical environment, travel and transport, use of technology, working rhythms, all those sorts of things. So it's not as if people are not trying. And the danger is that people who are trying will now fall on the wrong side of sort of decisions on benefits, you know, within the back to work plan. So, you know, we're not that pleased about that. But, you know, I think in the round, the government has shown a lack of understanding, a lack of empathy, particularly around work, which we were displeased to see.
And Matt, we probably have a bit of good news in a way now, as there was a recent opening of a new ECLO eye care liaison officer room at Birmingham Children's Hospital over the weekend. And this is a new room which is much more colourful and friendly and welcoming for visually impaired children and their parents, which in a way I think follows on from what you were talking about with Alan last week.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, Birmingham is only one of the places where we have an eye care liaison officer. We have about 130 up and down the country. We're seeing 75,000 roughly, you know, patients this year, and that's a growing number per year who are going through an eye health, you know, sort of experience and needing that eye care liaison officer to help signpost them to whatever service or support they need after that diagnosis. It's great we've been able to do this with the Birmingham Children's Hospital, where we've got a dedicated room for children with visual impairment. And we've just got some stuff on social media highlighting one or two children who are using the new room. And it's great, I think, for parents of children to have kids able to be, you know, sort of engaged and dare I say, distracted, you know, with lots of fun activities in the room whilst they have a conversation, you know, around the eye health diagnosis that their child might have experience, you know, on that visit to the Birmingham Children's Hospital. You know, the photos are great and you can see a very colourful room, a lot of great furniture, a lot of, you know, accessibility features to help people in wheelchairs, for example, and a lot of activities and play equipment there for children to engage with whilst they're having their visit to the hospital, and whilst it allows their parents to maybe engage with the ECLO and have a really good conversation about what might be next. I think to your point of linking it back to the, you know, what I was talking about last week with Alan around the pathway event, you know, our ECLOs are just a fabulous service, as I say, 130 plus around the country, seeing 75,000 people. And this gives the RNIB enormous, you know, relevance when it comes to all the work we've been doing to stitch together this sort of eye health pathway so that people have an eye health diagnosis and need to go through a journey where they're process supportively and speedily is something we're pushing for. And last week's meeting was a big sort of kickoff. We convened all the people who've been working on this for a couple of years to a meeting to sort of fire the starting pistol, if you like, from the NHS, from the devolved nations, from the Royal Colleges, our charity partners, politicians, and there's enormous energy and positivity, you know, post the event about the quality of the event and the work we've done and what we're now going to go and do. But our ECLOs, you know, and facilities like Birmingham give us all the relevance to play that role and are the springboard for us to go forward and really deliver some really quite seismic shifts, I think, in the eye health pathway through the work we kicked off last week. But great to see that facility up and running in Birmingham.
Yeah, something I probably could have done with a long, long time ago when I was visiting the eye clinic as a child, which is many, many, many years ago. But we must end with, I think, something for children as well, with our Letters for Santa, which is still available for people to write off a letter and for children to get a letter back from Santa, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, you know, here we are, November the 23rd. We're talking about Christmas about a month ago, but I think that's okay. We're getting our trees up soon, I'm sure. But yeah, serious point. You know, there's a whole raft of Christmas sort of activity that is on our website and that we provide particularly to support children. Yeah, and you see some of our campaigns around that as well. But yeah, particularly, you know, I think that sort of this Letter for Santa is a fabulous idea, an accessible Letter for Santa, and you can get in touch with us and all the information is on our website and on social media. You get to the Elf Academy Activity Hub, that snappily titled Christmas Factory, where you'll find a whole ton of ideas. And one of them is providing this accessible letter that your child can get from Santa, you know, which I think is fabulous for all visually impaired kids to be able to receive something that's really accessible, you know, on Christmas, you know, from Santa. And we provide that service. And I haven't got the numbers in front of me so far this year, but from memory last year, we're into the thousands of children who benefit from this in the UK every year. So, you know, really proud of the service. It's great to do it. And I will be unashamedly plugging it with you, Toby, for the next few weeks before we get to the deadline. And I would just encourage people just to not only engage with that, but go on the website and have a look at all the sort of Christmas stuff there, because there's quite a lot of interesting things for people to read and engage with.
Well, you can find all that Christmas information and a wide range of information and advice about living with sight loss on the RNIB website, which is rnib.org.uk. You can always, of course, call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999 or use your Amazon smart device and ask dear old lady A to call the RNIB helpline too. Well, thank you very much indeed, Matt, for joining me this week here on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, Toby, my pleasure. Mixed bag in the autumn statement. We're really pleased with the pathway. The ECLO is a fabulous part of the RNIB family, and it's great to be able to sort of talk about some really positive Christmas stuff. So good to speak to you.